You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our Set Apart to Serve series, and today it's a little closer to home. Well, It's part of our team here at KFUO, but it's, I guess, not so close to St. Louis.
Right.
We're actually going to Minnesota. So a familiar voice you'll get to hear as part of our conversation on Set Apart to Serve today. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine by visiting cui.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Phil Boo. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Luverne, Minnesota. He also happens to host a program called Thy Strong Word on a radio station called KFUO. Pastor Boo, welcome.
Thank you guys so much. I love being on this side of the, microphone. It's the same microphone.
Same microphone, but different side of the table. We get to ask questions today. And alongside him, Jessica Blocker. She serves as Director of Christian Education at St. John Lutheran Church in Luverne, Minnesota. And I don't think we've heard her on Thy Strong Word before, so welcome. Good to have you on the Coffee Hour today.
Awesome. Thank you. I don't have a radio voice, though, so I'm stuck with my everyday voice.
This is my everyday voice.
So the topic today is team ministry. As we look at serving in ministry and Set Apart to Serve, what does team ministry look like? And when I heard that Pastor Boo was serving alongside a DCE, I say, wow, she must be a saint. Pastor Boo had lots of great things to say about you before I even said anything like that. So Jessica, it's great to have you on the program today. And I am excited to learn about your role as DCE at St. John Lutheran Church and how you and Pastor Boo work alongside each other in the parish. So let's start with education and formation. As a pastor and as a DCE, let's talk about that. Pastor Boo, we'll start with you. In what ways did your education and formation as a pastor prepare you to serve in a team setting alongside other church workers and other leaders?
Almost none. And I don't mean that like in a really accusatory way, but I mean that I think that when you're in seminary and you're preparing, I think you either are the type who kind of knows that you're going to go into a team ministry position, or you're the type that maybe they say, hey, they might not play well with others, but you'll be a blessing to the church. I might have been in that other category. So as a liturgical pastor, I prefer the liturgy. You find that those aren't the bigger congregations, so the opportunity to serve in team positions are a little bit more rare. So while formal training, I don't think really aided me, it would have, I think, if I had intended on doing that, but it was, I think over time, the recognition that says, okay, I have a call and it includes a DCE. Is that a good or a bad thing? Well, just like any other call, how are we going to get along? Is the person capable? Is this someone? And so I don't say a red flag, but it was almost sort of a, this is a consideration that I have to take because A, am I going to play well with others? And B, am I going to get along with this person? So I did my due diligence before coming here, called all the contacts I know. Hey, what do you know about this Jessica person? And I actually got nothing but really good comments, except for one that said she really likes her dog.
Which was weird. Like,
I mean, you do like your dog.
I do like my dog, but not like creepily. Yeah, I heard that you did more research on me than the church, which is probably fair. I'm weird. But no.
That makes it come off a little creepier than intended. But no, I mean, because the idea is that I can speak more about the value I've found in it since coming, because I didn't really have a really great understanding of what that would be like. And I know people who had negative experiences, but coming in, we came into a congregation that is extremely stable, thoroughly Lutheran. She'd been here several years before I even showed up. I've been in ministry for 15. She's been in ministry for 9. So really, we found an ability to complement one another. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that Jess didn't really stop, I think, in terms of her education, excels in theology, someone that you can bounce theological ideas off of. There's only so many times I can bore a church administrative assistant with, like, you know, my talk about whatever. Sometimes Jess actually is interested or is very good at feigning interest.
We're the type of people that are like, we come across a topic and you're like, oh, you know, it just makes me want to write a research paper. And other people look at us and go, why? Why would you want to do that? We're like, it sounds like fun.
Yeah, we know those type over here too.
That sounds like a good dissertation. So.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good dissertation. Well, like,
that is a good dissertation.
Sarah, I know you, congratulations once again. You just graduated with an advanced degree. And
yeah.
Same with Jess. She, you know, I encouraged her too when she was getting her master's in psychology and counseling, I believe. I think it's something along those lines.
The official title was Mental Health and Wellness with an Emphasis in Christian Ministry, which I don't even know how that sits on a diploma, but that's what my master's is in from Grand Canyon University.
So I have encouraged her to move on and get a DMin or something like that, mostly just so I can come in the morning and go, doctor, 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 doctor.
That's my husband's goal, too. This blocker. He's like, it sounds, it just rolls off the tongue. Dr. Blocker, Dr. Yeah. Blocker.
Yeah.
But we find that the uniqueness of our different positions, me as the pastor and she in her wheelhouse as children's and family ministry, it's actually kind of nice. Now, I've not worked with another pastor before, but one of the nice things is the vocations and roles are so clearly defined by the scriptures and our confessions and our practices that we don't find ourselves tiptoeing around each other. We don't really have to. And we also find very much that, you know, if we come to a theological impasse on something, we put ourselves under the authority of the scripture. If it really comes down to, well, we want to go this way or that way, perhaps I'll nudge and just say, well, we're going to take this direction. And she's very good about that. But I also try to be very good about accepting influence because, you know, Jess brings a lot to the table that, as I said, and I didn't mean it negatively, but I just wasn't trained with.
Okay, Jess, what about you in your training as a DCE? Were you prepared? How were you prepared to work in a team setting?
I think DCEs, you know, you're going to be a second chair leader. Right. So you are prepared more through schooling to be a team player and going through like strength finders and figuring out how can you complement whoever the shepherd is, whoever the leader is, and how can you work alongside each other. And I think communication is especially important. I grew up in a very, very small church, like a membership of 100, regularly worshiped 60. So that was a really small setting, and it gave me the opportunity as even middle school, high school, I was working alongside people of lots of different ages and stages, and I had no issues having conversations with people older than myself. And I feel like those experiences, along with my education, I'm a CSP grad, so go Golden Bears, and gotta throw that in there. But those experiences, I think of that small town, I feel extremely blessed to be serving in a non-metro area. And it, like Pastor Boo said, it's very rare for a congregation of this size in this place to have a team. And I feel like God's really given us the skills to complement one another really well. So, like, I don't know, the other day. So it's, you know, it's May, but I'm already working on the Christmas program.
Oh, yeah.
So I had an idea and even just sent a text of like, do you think this will work or not? And things that I was, well, maybe this is on the fence, maybe not. And it was like, well, he ended up being on the fence for a totally different reason. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So this, we're just going to put a nix through that one. That's something else.
Oh, it's actually very fun. We've been working together to improve the catechetical program. Now, that was my doctorate. My DMin is in, well, congregational care and counseling, but then also catechesis. And so she has an interest, obviously, being with childhood development ministry and that sort of thing. And so I think we've complemented each other fairly well in terms of revamping that program for the sake of the kiddos. And we've made some changes, which also helps because we're pretty united congregation facing. And so there's a lot of trust that we do not deserve, but are grateful to have from the congregation. And that is incredibly helpful. You talk about team ministry, but the team includes every single parishioner in the pews, and not in a everybody's a minister kind of way, but in a genuine, this is y'all's church. Jess and I are church workers. We're dedicated to this. We're dedicated to the Lord, but the Lord may call us away, but you're going to be here. So having their trust, but also their involvement, has just been tremendous.
So let's talk about what you've learned through your time together. Jessica, you've been at St. John for 9 years. Is that right?
Yep. It'll be 9 years in August. This is my first call out of college. So this is where I started. And I am very fortunate again, like they knew they were calling a college kid. They let me make mistakes. And that helped that they showed grace in those mistakes. And it was like, yeah, you have an idea, go for it. And I think that really prepared me to be a confident leader within the congregation because of like the trust factor of they trusted that I had the training to do the job, but they also trusted that in their own infinite wisdom, not everything was going to work. And I think that that foundation also rolled into our professional relationship, like the ability to trust each other as pastor and DCE to come together in that respect, not only of position, but each other as people, that when we have ideas, we can, you know, walk into each other's office and not be afraid to bounce ideas off, whether they are just harebrained schemes or a really deep theological questions. Like, I want a second opinion on this and help me dig into this more.
Now, you've been there 9 years. Pastor Boo's been there about 5 years. Is that right? So was there a vacancy before Pastor Boo arrived? Did you serve?
A very brief one.
Okay.
Like, inordinately brief for a congregational call process. Our previous pastor retired in May, like end of May, and Pastor Boo visited in September, I believe, accepted the call by October, and started like around Thanksgiving.
Wow.
So
in COVID.
Well,
wow.
And what I later learned is that I don't want to say they threw away their vote, but they voted for me and said, he probably won't come.
Yeah, nobody thought he'd take it because he's a doctor.
It just is like, oh, no, you can't swing a stick without hitting one of those. Don't worry about it. So it was nice. And I did take it because I actually had two calls at the time I accepted it. Another one was for a different congregation in a 200,000 person city. So it was much bigger, a lot more responsibilities, a little more money. But the problem was, you know, my wife wasn't comfortable there. I mean, we live in town at the parsonage, but it still is almost too urban for my wife. So that's another part of this important team ministry that's important, is that my wife is comfortable with the team relationship that I have with Jess. She's comfortable coming into the office and bouncing ideas or just wandering in. You know, so again, that team extends, again, not just to congregations, but to families. And I think if you're asking me what I would learn, I would say not to be so tight around the collar, because we have a synod which is very appreciative of its pastors, but sometimes putting you up on that pedestal really is an easy way to get knocked off, because you don't know everything. And having access, frankly, just to someone who can empathize with women and their issues in a way that's unique to me is just an incredible godsend. So I think that is a huge part of it, not just in terms of ministry roles, but just in terms of having someone that has a different perspective.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve series today, talking with Pastor Boo and DCE Jessica Blocker at St. John Lutheran Church in Laverne, Minnesota. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Concordia University System is comprised of 5 universities of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Located across the United States, the universities offer more than 160 undergraduate and 50 graduate programs and approach learning from a Lutheran context with the goal of developing Christian leaders for the church, community, and the world. Learn more about your Concordia University System at cus.edu. The Concordia University System. Education built on God's Word. cus.edu.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Pastor Boo at St. John Lutheran Church in Laverne, Minnesota, and DCE Jessica Blocker. She serves alongside Pastor Boo at St. John. And man, we are just learning a lot about team ministry today and the time that they've been serving together, about 5 years now. So we've talked a little bit about what you've learned in that time. Let's talk about how you hash things out. Let's get down to the nitty gritty, how you work things out. How do you go about like talking about the logistics? Like, you were talking about Christmas programming already coming up, Jessica, you were planning for that. And how do you communicate those things? Like, when is, you know, the dates for various events, or, you know, who's using what space? How do you work out all those communication logistics?
I was going to say, I think what helps is we are a team of two. And then you also include in our church, our preschool director and teacher, and then the administrative assistant. We're not managing a staff of tens of 20s of hundreds. So the communication is, you know, walking across the hall and saying, hey, do you have those dates on your calendar? Or the comfort to say, I have a weird idea at 9 o'clock in the morning on a day off, but I can't get it out of my head. I'm going to shoot you a message so I don't forget about it. Get back to me when you can. But that's I think, a really nice thing of a smaller setting is you don't just walk over and throw the ideas out, throw the dates out.
When I had arrived, one of the expectations was that I would, as an administrative pastor, that I would have like monthly or, you know, regular staff meetings. And so I started that, but it was so superfluous because we saw each other all the time. So we just resolved that, well, we'll just talk to each other when we see each other, because it's literally my office, a little space for the admin, and then her office, and that's all we got. And then Becky DeBoer, who runs our excellent since the 80s, Little Lambs preschool program, she's also in the mix. But in terms of like events and division of duties, that's kind of what I was saying earlier, is that the greatest thing about Jess's passion for things like the Christmas program and the VBS is that I don't have to do them. I just show up and do what she tells me to do. I mean, if Jess left, God forbid, of course, the Lord's will be done, but I would have to work for a living. So I'm really keen on her not leaving. But in all seriousness, though, those are things where she's passionate about it. And she's also passionate, if I can speak for a little bit, about like catechesis. But I think she saw that I had a special passion for that, too. So it wasn't a fight. It was just sort of a, okay, well, let's just divide up the duties. And I don't know. It was all very organic.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned to you before, I feel like it's very rare to have such natural camaraderie with a teammate. You know, some teams really have to work at the communication and just the peer and colleague relationship. And like, it's like working for my older brother.
She told me that once. That's one of the nicest things she ever said. I was happy she didn't say father. But older brother, I will take. And it is. It's just really good. And our last admin, who's gone on to other things now, but I enjoyed working with him too. So I think it does help that this is a congregation that really supports the church workers, because yes. We don't have we don't spend any time having roast church all the time because we're not satisfied or something like that. We are equipped and freed to do the ministry that the Lord leads us to do.
Okay, talk a little bit more about how you build on each other's strengths. It's come up a couple of ways in just our conversation, but how do you intentionally identify and use the strengths that each other has in the team ministry partnership?
Well, I have a quick example. It's a little bit concrete example, but one of the things that we've been doing together, well, actually sort of, I guess, aside each other, but in concert with one another, is writing for lack of a better word, a workbook called Confirmation Quest. And this is a book that, instead of like sermon reports, gives them quests to do, which involve a variety of creative things. But it also involves a lot of academic things and a lot of other things, so that kids can have something other than just a sermon report to do, but something that maybe, those are in there too, but maybe inspires them and they collect gold, et cetera, et cetera. So putting that together, you know, I would outline it. And then we would come together and she'd say, oh, here's a bunch of ideas I had. We'd sort of synthesize those. And then it would be very much, okay, I need you to punch up all of this for the creative part to make it sound fun and cool. And then, you know, I'll check this for that. And well, so it just, that's just a small example, but I guess it just really doesn't occur to us to say, well, this is my duty and I'm the one who should get to decide. I don't know. I mean, so far that hasn't come up. Thank the Lord.
No, and I think identifying each other's interests as well of, you know, we're very aware of each other's gifts and talents and passions. So even something as simple as we celebrated our 125th year of Sunday school at St. John last fall. And we always give a little like keychain or something to the kids at the start of the school year, instead of a backpack blessing, just a back to school blessing. And we hand something out. And you know, Pastor Boo likes to fiddle with things like laser engravers and 3D printers. So to pick his brain and be like, hey, we've got this cool idea to do a customized keychain, but it would cost us, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars to custom order them. Are you willing to spend the time to, you know, deal with a $20 pack of blank circle wood chips and make it into something special?
Yeah. And in terms of things like, worship. You know, Jess leads our children's message. But most of the worship, the liturgy and all that, you know, the DCE plays that appropriate role, I think, in that role. But otherwise, she participates in liturgy like everybody else. So I would say if the DCE was very keen on becoming extra involved in parts that aren't traditionally reserved for DCEs in the liturgy, then we might start to have some conflict if we couldn't resolve that. But this is also, again, where I don't have to like check up all the time and analyze all of the resources she's using for youth group or double check the VBS beyond just, obviously they ask me what my opinion is. But I guess I get to trust that those things are done and I don't have to get involved in the same way. Things that are reserved for the pastor, there's never been an issue, probably because you're a PK too.
I am a PK, yeah. My dad is Pastor Ed Borkert, who's now serving Zion Lutheran in Hardwick, Minnesota. So he's only 10 miles away, which is a real treat. But yeah, I'm also very liturgical as a DCE. And I just thought back to there was one time someone had made a request and I didn't like it. And I was like, but I need the oomph to say no of the pastor. So I went in to Pastor Boo and I said, I'm going to ask you a question and I need you to say no. Because someone had, an individual had wanted an extra non-liturgical element added into worship that had to do with children's ministry and had been pushing and pushing and pushing. I'd given all of my reasons and then they said something like, will you please go see what pastor thinks? It's like, I need you to say no. He was like,
if I wanted to say yes, I would have. But yeah,
then I would have said wrong answer.
I don't even remember what it was, but that's funny.
When it comes to interacting with the congregation and them seeing you as a team, what is important to you about how you present yourself as a team to the congregation and to others as well, and how they perceive you as a team? What's important to you and how the congregation perceives you?
Well, I always loved the advice that I received on internship, which was serving in a slightly larger team. But it was, we can disagree all we want behind closed doors, but when we go before the congregation, we are a united front. And we very rarely have disagreements. Like for us, a disagreement is like, what color should this particular font be in the bulletin? Like, no, it should be blue. It should be pink.
Yeah, with the confessions in the scriptures, there's not a lot of room to disagree on theology. And, you know, we're both committed to those things. One of the other things, too, though, is for sure just what she said. But, you know, the other thing is also, and I kind of used the phrase earlier, but not having, you know, roast DCE for lunch. You know, you're at your after church and you're like, oh, she did this or her announcement went too long. I don't want to say it's like parenting, but it's almost a little bit, because it's like I have the respect of not just her, but then, you know, others, too, that we're not going to roast each other in front. Now, again, there's disagreement to be had, then yeah, let's work it out.
Say if we roast each other, it's usually in the context of like sarcastic roasting of each other where everyone knows that we're being ridiculous.
Well, most of them.
Most of them.
Sarcasm is my love language, as they say.
We have a problem with that. We need a sign for the office. Beware sarcastic church workers.
That's right.
A bit of a coping mechanism as we wrap up our sort. What would you like future church workers to know or understand or consider about what it means to serve in a team, the benefits that it provides a congregation to serve in a team ministry setting in a church?
I would say I've worked with two pastors and I grew up with a pastor, and not only is team ministry worth the effort to learn how to communicate. If you don't naturally communicate well, learn how to communicate with one another, identify the styles. But also, when issues come up, you have to take a look in the mirror. And it cannot always be the other person's fault. And even if it maybe was the other person's fault, especially as a teammate, you still need to look at yourself and say, how could I have helped in the instance of an issue occurring, to have that humility to be a team member, because you cannot build the trust as a team without the willingness to be humble yourself.
And mine would be to congregations, especially medium ones. I mean, I would say smaller, but I understand the financial realities. But if you think that you need, you know, like 400 or 500 people on a weekend to start maybe adding on staff, I don't think that's necessarily the way to go. Consider, there's not just DCEs, of course, but there's a variety of different church workers out there. If you are thinking about getting into church work, I'm telling you, you don't have to be a pastor. Even if you're a man or male and you're thinking, well, that's the only way I can. No, there's so many ways that you can serve the church. And our synod, I think, does an amazing job of establishing these auxiliary offices to be able to do the Lord's work. But as a congregation, you know, I think it's amazing how we don't talk about returns on investment, but to be honest, it really is. It's an amazing return on that investment, not just of money, but of the spiritual care of an extra church worker, because your pastor then gets alleviated of the things that, frankly, he may or may not be good at. And then not only is he supported that way, but you get the benefit of having someone sort of on your side. Now, I know with extra people come, of course, conflicts and different ways of dealing with it. We've been fortunate. I know that's not every situation, but even as a circuit visitor, and I've served in some other roles, I've seen pastors, and I've been tempted myself to be such lone rangers, even in the midst of a circuit. And it's just, the Lord calls us together and gives us these differing gifts to serve his good, not to build ourselves up.
Mm. All right. Most important question today, who gets the bigger office?
I think I do by a little bit.
I have a bathroom.
Does have a bathroom. I have a larger counter, which I think makes it feel bigger.
And we're actually both pretty chuffed right now because they are renovating all the offices. So I know this is radio, so you can't see it, but I have the office that you I could sell you a 74 Cutlass out of here with clear coat and get you a great deal. The wood paneling kind of dates the thing, but we are renovating the offices. It's going to be great. But in any case, yeah, she gets the bigger one, but hers used to be a workroom.
It did. And to be fair, I always have way more stuff everywhere. So it's probably an okay thing. Because if I don't have, you know, VBS or Christmas or, you know, I've got the youth gathering coming up, mm-hmm. I'm like, as soon as I clean the floor or the counter, give it 20 minutes and it'll be full again. So I need walking space. That's why I have the bigger office.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Philip Boo, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Luverne, Minnesota. Pastor Boo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And DCE Jessica Blocker. She serves as Director of Christian Education at St. John Lutheran Church in Luverne, Minnesota. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks. StJohnLuverne.org.
Yes. Look at it. Do we have an Instagram handle?
That's right.
We have Facebook.
So yeah, at St. John Luverne.
Very good.
Smash that like button.
And Luverne is LUVERNE.
Thank you.
Folks who are looking for that, St. John Luverne, Minnesota. You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.